There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and all just for the ride.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back here to the Audio Stash today. It's Monday, November 19th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us here at Normal. Help us end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org to make your donation or join Normal today. Folks are going to have a great week of programming here Thanksgiving week. We'll have brand new shows available on Thursday and Friday for our holiday week. So as you're sharing some turkey, as you're sharing some good food this week, make sure to share a little free stash, share the audio stash with your friends out there this week as well. And some of our guests this week, we'll speak again with Bernie Ellis in Tennessee about everything happening with medical marijuana in Tennessee and his own case as it moves forward. Also this week, we'll speak with Ray Warren of the Marijuana Policy Project about upcoming pieces of legislation around the country in 2008. Paul Armentano, Normal Senior Policy Analyst, will join us this week to discuss in-depth an important news story. Cannabis spray effective long-term in pain treatment study says. This looked at the long-term administration of Sativex. This is an oral spray containing natural cannabis extracts. It's available in the UK and in Canada. And this was a very important study that showed the long-term effectiveness of natural cannabis in treating pain. Also in the program this week, our regular segments on Wednesday with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, our cannabis segment, and on Friday with Steve Bloom with our CelebStoner.com update. A great Thanksgiving week worth of programming. We got some great music for you this week as well. Friday, oh, by the way, folks, last night I got to hang out with the Cottonmouth Kings, Big B and Dirtball there with Suburban Noise Records. They were here in Philadelphia at the TLA right there on South Street. So we got a nice interview with Johnny Richter from the Cottonmouth Kings and also Big B, who's touring with them. Gotta say, too, the Cottonmouth Kings with big, huge joints on stage. There are these huge joints that come in from the rafters, not to mention the huge joints that are all around when these guys are here in town. So it was a very good show at the TLA last night. Cottonmouth Kings, definitely the stoniest show in America. And again, Friday we'll have our interviews with Big B and Johnny Richter from the Cottonmouth Kings right here on your stash, Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, we're going to speak with Alan St. Pierre, Normal's Executive Director, about a New York Times article. And also, we're going to discuss why cannabis has never been considered for medical approval by the FDA. We'll talk about that today with Alan. Also in our program today, I got a chance to travel up to the Pennsylvania College of Technology and deliver an hour-long presentation on marijuana and marijuana prohibition. In that presentation, I talk a lot about the podcast and some of the guests we've had on and the importance of online media today. Also, a little bit about the history of Normal. The presentation was about an hour and 15 minutes long, and there was a question and answer. So we'll just play the beginning portion of that. We'll have the rest of it posted later in the week. So that's all here in our audio stash today. First, let's get to some daily news. Our news today was first reported in the Normal News press release last week from Washington, D.C. U.S. marijuana market saturated, pot prices to fall, federal government says. Domestic marijuana production has risen dramatically in recent years and will likely result in reduced retail prices for pot. According to the U.S. National Drug Intelligence Center's, or NDIC, 2008 National Drug Threat Assessment Report, quote, recent increases in cannabis cultivation and marijuana production within the United States coincide with the continued flow of marijuana from foreign sources, close quote, the report finds. It continues, quote, this may lead to a market saturation in major markets, which could reduce the price of the drug significantly, close quote. Since 2000, the total number of domestic marijuana plants seized by U.S. law enforcement has increased from 2.8 million to over 5.2 million, the report finds. Authors speculate that a significant portion of the increase in pot production is due to commercial growers relocating their operations indoors, which allows them to increase their total number of harvests per year and produce higher quality cannabis. Quote, though the demand for marijuana appears to be relatively stable, many users now prefer higher potency marijuana over commercial grade marijuana, close quote, authors state. Nevertheless, the report concludes that, quote, most of the marijuana available, close quote, in the United States continues to be, quote, lower potency commercial grade marijuana produced in Mexico, close quote. In 2006, law enforcement seized more than 1.1 million kilograms of pot along the U.S. southwest border, according to the study. By contrast, law enforcement seized fewer than 4,200 kilograms of pot along the U.S.-Canadian border. Domestically, California continues to lead all U.S. states in pot production, with an estimated 2.9 million plants having been eradicated by law enforcement so far this year. This record total is more than four times the total number of plants seized in 2005. Among California's counties, Lake County, Humboldt County, and Shasta County report the largest numbers of pot seizures. Full text of the NDIC report, National Drug Threat Assessment 2008, is available on the Department of Justice website through links at normal.org. Have you ever wondered what Amsterdam is all about? Don't just read about the culture that has accepted cannabis. Experience it firsthand with CS Travel's Sensible Amsterdam Tour with Normal. Travel to one of Europe's most beautiful cities this January for an educational and recreational visit to a city that regulates cannabis like alcohol. CS Travel has arranged an exclusive visit for reform-minded Americans that includes a private tour of some of Amsterdam's most renowned coffee shops, educational seminars with coffee shop proprietors, local law enforcement, members of the Cannabis Retailers Association, and Normal staff. Entertainment includes a special evening at the Boom Chicago Comedy Club, canal tours, visits to the city's many museums, including the world-famous Van Gogh Museum. Don't just wonder about Amsterdam, experience the beauty and freedom of this unique city firsthand with CS Travel and Normal's Sensible Amsterdam Tour. Pricing information is available online at coffeeshoptravel.com. That's coffeeshoptravel.com. Or call toll-free at 800-816-1846. That's 800-816-1846. Be a sensible American. Visit Amsterdam with CS Travel and Normal this January. Call 1-800-816-1846 right now to book your trip. More information is available at normal.org.
Yeah. You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Joining us here on the program today to discuss a couple of very interesting topics and articles out there that made national attention is Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre. Alan, welcome back here to the Audio Stash today.
Good day, Chris.
Great to speak with you as always, Alan. Now, let's begin by discussing a piece you contributed to in the New York Times Freakonomics blog. It had yourself and other reform advocates pitted against prohibitionists that included a rep, a well-known one from the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Alan, this article's been out a few weeks now. What's been the response?
It's been very good. Not only did the editors of the Freakonomics blog indicate that it got a very high click-through rate and comments, it had probably double the amount of comments that most of their weekly blog entries get. So they were very, very happy, and I wasn't surprised that marijuana in the New York Times would generate a lot of buzz. And indeed, Dr. Grinspoon, Richard Miller, and myself were pitted against David Murray from the ONDCP, and Dr. DuPont from Georgetown Medical School, and also owns a company with the former DEA head Peter Benzinger, DuPont Benzinger and Associates, which is essentially a drug testing company. So he is very much an individual who has a stake in the status quo of prohibition. So it was an interesting little mini debate. They asked us to keep our remarks under 400 words, and I think I tried to keep mine around 600. And I think that it's pretty clear from the responses that the vast majority of people that viewed the blog and chose to reply were in favor of ending prohibition.
Now, is there anything new from the prohibitionists in this article, or have they stuck to their 70-year-old reefer madness mantra here?
It was absolutely a rote discussion on their part. In fact, many people criticized them for not coming up with any new real discussion mode or to introduce any new evidence to why Normal and other reform groups' four-decade-old argument to reform marijuana laws is invalid.
Very interesting. Now, one of the prohibitionists was Dr. David Murray, the chief scientist of the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Murray was actually in Tennessee last week, as we heard from Bernie Ellis at that legislative hearing there on medical marijuana. Murray mentioned in his live testimony in Tennessee and in this New York Times article that the FDA hasn't approved cannabis as a drug. Alan, let me ask you why. Why hasn't the FDA looked at approving cannabis as a drug?
Well, for a myriad reasons. Number one, reformers haven't put cannabis before them to reform, mainly because it's not a system that's at all amenable to, one, bringing any plant product into fruition as a drug, and two, there are no smoked medicines, period, that are approved by the FDA. So one of the things I find so interesting about the ONDCP and this theme that Dr. Murray has adopted from the prior administration of Barry McCaffrey is as follows. Around 1996-97, realizing they could no longer claim that there was no valid medical or scientific information that marijuana wasn't a valuable, non-toxic, reasonably safe therapeutic substance to use, they then started to adopt this theme that, well, then let's have science be the final arbiter, for which we've always believed, yes, indeed, Dr. Murray and the ONDCP, let's have science and not technocrats and bureaucrats here in Washington, you know, put forward the information to the public and to the respective institutions that need to come up with reform marijuana laws. And so they don't really come to the table with clean hands on this, because in the end, there is no way the FDA, under the current rules, administrations, and biases, are going to allow cannabis to be used as a medicine. And one of the points that needs to be drawn out here is that the DEA doesn't even allow the monopoly on who grows marijuana for therapeutic research purposes. And this has been discussed on the podcast before in detail, that my alma mater, the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, has effectively sued the DEA and has won the first round of what will probably be a 10 or 15-year lawsuit to break the monopoly down at the University of Mississippi at Oxford. It's had a 25-year contract to grow marijuana. That's the only legal source of marijuana in the United States. And the DEA has fought to keep that monopoly in place. So the idea that it's going to allow pharmaceutical companies and university facilities and private entrepreneurs to grow cannabis that then can put forward the copious amounts of information that the FDA would need to decide whether marijuana should be brought into the modern pharmacopoeia, it's an absolute given that that system will reject cannabis in its whole smoked form. And Dr. Murray knows that. That's why he's so keen to put that out there as the final arbiter. So ultimately, there are a couple things have to happen, I think. One is we have to get away from this idea of smoked medicine. Vaporization has changed this largely, and Dr. Murray has a very hard time addressing this when confronted with the idea that, yes, there are not smoked medicines per se, but there are many inhaled and vaporized drugs, and cannabis can well be one of them.
And having this new method of the vaporizer out there, it's been shown in clinical trials to be safe and effective. Does that perhaps make FDA approval for inhaled whole plant cannabis more of a possibility today?
It certainly has a greater potential regard how much of the problematic constituent products that are associated with smoke that no one wants to consume. So that will certainly be advantageous. But they will have a problem with the fact that the derivative is coming from a whole plant product. And I think where we're going to see, and we are seeing, where this is going to be greatly tested, and here you have GW Pharmaceuticals and their Sativix product, and they enjoy large capitalization. One of their partners is Bayer Pharmaceutical, and they are having some difficulty, to say the least, in getting their product with tens of millions of dollars of research and approval to try to get their product, which is a sublingual spray under the tongue, derived from a whole plant product. They are having problems pushing that outside of a few European countries and Canada. And so the United States FDA is considered sort of the holy grail if you can get a drug introduced into this marketplace. So I think we're going to see an excellent example of the fits and starts that are going to happen here, because a whole plant product derived from marijuana is going to be coming to market here, or at least this big company with all of its muscle and all of its well-done research is going to be able to convince this FDA to at least allow that on the market. If the FDA does not allow it on the market, that's extremely indicative that they're probably not going to allow vaporized cannabis products on the market as well.
Also, Alan, we've seen a whole lot of reform activity in the last few years. It does look like 2008 is going to be a hot one for marijuana reform issues across the country.
2008, without a doubt, is going to be the hottest year for a lot of different reasons. One, the maturation of the baby boomers, their philanthropy towards drug policy reform, their influence over politics, the internet and the increase of communication and networking technologies, the fact that there will be likely 4 to 5 states next year that will be voting on either medical marijuana or decriminalizing marijuana is absolutely going to make 2008 the most visible year for marijuana law reform in the almost 4 decades that's been going on.
Righto, Alan. Well, many thanks again for joining us here today on the Audio Stash. Always great to have you here on the program, and I look forward to speaking with you again very soon.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thank you again, Alan. Alan St. Pierre is Normal's Executive Director. If you'd like to reach him with questions or comments, you can call area code 202-483-5500 or contact Alan via email at alan@normal.org.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Next up here in the program today, you're going to hear a little of your humble host and narrator talking about Normal and the podcast and marijuana in general. I got the chance to travel up to the Pennsylvania College of Technology. And many thanks to Eric and all the folks up there who made that happen, the faculty advisor Elliot. Really was a great opportunity to talk to some folks about marijuana and an end to marijuana prohibition. There were about 200 students and faculty there that night, and it was kind of a broad forum. I was given the chance to talk about Normal, talk about the podcast, talk about marijuana in general. So I decided to talk about what marijuana was, how it was grown, its history of use, and the history of prohibition, and why prohibition should change. Got a great response, and this town, Williamsport, is really in north central Pennsylvania. It's pretty close to Ohio. It's very interesting how in tune with this presentation all the students and faculty were there in Williamsport. So here it is. This section, we'll talk about the podcast, talk about the history of Normal, talk about marijuana a little bit. Again, this was at the Pennsylvania College of Technology. If you're a student group and you'd like a speaker to come in from Normal to talk about marijuana and marijuana law reform, give us a call. Area code 202-483-5500. Normal has experts and staffers all around the country, and we love to come on out and talk about marijuana law reform. Again, Normal's main number, 202-483-5500. If you'd like to book a speaker from Normal at your school or event. And thanks to a great helper here to the podcast, Rupert Kennedy, this presentation was recorded on November 8th.
My name is Chris Goldstein. I produce the podcast for Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. And I produce an audio program 30 to 45 minutes long every single day. And I interview policy experts, activists, all kinds of folks. We're going to talk about that in a minute. First, I want to say that these guys did a great presentation. They obviously do care about their students a lot, and it is important information to know. One thing that they didn't mention, though, and one of the harshest penalties for students, and I will point out that most of the people who are arrested for marijuana possession are under the age of 30. So most folks are in college. There's one thing that is the biggest circumstance, and that's the Higher Education Act. I don't know how many of you get federal financial aid, but under provisions of the Higher Education Act, you will lose your federal financial aid even for a simple possession offense. This is a horrible reality that groups like Students for Sensible Drug Policy and Normal are lobbying our legislators to change. There was actually some legislative hearings on this in a Senate subcommittee this year that included folks like Barack Obama. So these issues of marijuana possession, they do have far-reaching consequences, but that, in our view at Normal, is why these laws need to change and why legalization needs to happen. We'll talk a little bit more about driving under the influence, which is very interesting, a realm of science today. Pennsylvania does have some very tough driving under the influence policies. There are some states that have zero tolerance per se. The problem with this, of course, is that THC, and many of you probably already know this, can stay in your body for weeks at a time. It's metabolized in your fat. It's soluble in your fat. So weeks later, you might test positive for THC. And actually, a lot of states don't test for THC itself. They test for THC metabolites, what your body does with the THC afterwards. And those little trace amounts, though they are not impairing you, and even in California, there was testimony yesterday in front of the Assembly on their increased penalties for driving under the influence. Even the state legislators are saying it's not impairment that we're testing for. We're just testing for levels of metabolites. So it's not necessarily that you're impaired. All right, we're going to get into the presentation proper. These guys really do care about you a lot, and these policies here are very important to understand. So many thanks to both Ben and Eric for putting this show together here tonight and inviting me out here. Marijuana is a fascinating topic. It really is. When you look at the medicine and science that are created around it right now, it is amazing. And to me, the variety of issues associated with marijuana policy and prohibition are some of the most pressing civil rights and social justice issues in our country today. And that is really how I feel. Pot prohibition has an intense impact and consequences for everyone, not just college students, not just those under 30, but really every single person in the United States. It's Normal's view, and it's my view, that prohibition should end. And it should end immediately. Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about NORML. NORML is the National Organization for the Reform Marijuana Laws. You can find the podcast and a wealth of wonderful information on the website normal.org. It's one of the most trafficked websites on the Internet. 2 weeks ago, Reuters News reported that marijuana is the top search term in North America. North Americans and Canadians search the term marijuana pretty much more than anything else. Not too surprising. But that ends up putting NORML's website, a website that has maintained information about marijuana and marijuana policy for many years now, as one of the most visited websites out there. If you go to Alexa, I don't know how many web geeks there are out there like me, but if you go to Alexa and you track these statistics, you'll find that normal.org ranks right up there. And it's because people are really interested in marijuana information out there. And one of the reasons the podcast is so successful is because the media has marginalized marijuana and people are turning to find that information with new media online. So we're going to talk a little bit about NORML itself. NORML, of course, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. It's a nonprofit organization seeking the legalization and regulation of cannabis for general consumption in the U.S., like alcohol. NORML was founded in 1970 by Keith Strupp. There's Keith there. He remains legal counsel to the foundation. He's on the podcast pretty frequently. He was just arrested in Boston, believe it or not. Keith, his first marijuana possession arrest in 27 years. He was caught with the associate publisher of High Times magazine, Rick Cusick. And they were smoking a joint at the Boston Freedom Rally. And there were about 15,000 people smoking joints at the Boston Freedom Rally. And there were about 120 undercover police officers, mostly arresting young people for that. Keith and Rick were arrested. They didn't realize who they were. They got under Boston and Massachusetts law, they were given a civil fine, a citation. They had to go back to court. So second marijuana arrest for Keith. He's not shy about it either. He's certainly proud about his work and his advocacy. NORML was born in response to the formation of a presidential commission on marijuana in 1970. President Nixon put this presidential commission together. It went around the country with experts looking at marijuana policy around the country. We're going to talk about their recommendations later. I'll give it away now. They recommended that marijuana be decriminalized in 1973. So it was looking at how to class marijuana under the Controlled Substances Act. It was mentioned that it's a Schedule 1. Schedule 1 is where things like crack and heroin are in the Controlled Substances Act, and this is the scheme under which we operate, and it's closely modeled by the UK's drug classification schemes. Since 1970, NORML has grown to be one of the largest grassroots advocacy organizations in the country. There are 120 chapters of NORML in America. A lot of them exist on college campuses. This is college campus at University of California at Santa Barbara, a particularly active chapter. NORML has been instrumental in almost every state and federal piece of legislation regarding marijuana liberalization in the past 37 years. It's run successful media campaigns. There's Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York. See that? Oop, I'm going to go back. You bet I did, and I enjoyed it. That is what Michael Bloomberg said when someone said, "Do you smoke pot?" This caused a huge stir in 2005. Bloomberg is on Charlie Rose answering questions about marijuana. It's on all the talk shows. Jay Leno, Letterman. This is the mayor of New York. You bet I did, and I enjoyed it. So this is what NORML does. It creates media campaigns. It does grassroots advocacy. It testifies before committees. NORML's staff and experts have testified before 100 state and federal legislative committees on everything from medical marijuana, marijuana decriminalization, driving under the influence, drug testing, you name it. NORML is a group that has tirelessly worked for the cannabis consumers of America, of which, as you can see just from the statistics here on campus, there are many. That's a wonderful next slide. We're going to talk about Proposition 215 here tonight. Many of you have probably heard of Prop 215, medical marijuana in California. This is what grassroots advocacy does. It changes laws. This is what NORML does. You work to lobby state legislators. You pass ballot initiatives. Proposition 215 was a ballot initiative. It wasn't passed by state legislators. It wasn't passed by politicians. It was passed by the voters of California. And believe me, even with all the controversy that remains in national media about medical marijuana, believe me, folks, medical marijuana isn't going anywhere in California. It grows every single day. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Today, Normal continues support of local chapters. It publishes information on the internet. It publishes information to the media. Normal's director can be seen on talk shows, radio talk shows. You can see them on C-SPAN. We just had C-SPAN radio play Rick Steves' speech at the Normal 2007 conference. I don't know if you ever heard of Rick Steves. He's the PBS travel host, Rick Steves Europe. Cool guy. He talks about the difference between the European viewpoint on marijuana and our own, which is pretty stark. Normal advocates, again, that marijuana should be taxed, regulated, and sold to responsible adults in a manner similar to alcohol. Again, that simple. We're very used to this alcohol model. We're used to the cigarette model. We're used to having something taxed and regulated and sold to responsible adults with restrictions so that kids can't get it, with ways that kids can't get it. Right now, it is easier for kids to procure marijuana than it is for them to procure alcohol in high school. That's because dealers don't card. Dealers do not ask you if you're 18. They ask you for your money. And when we talk about regulation and legalization, what we talk about is moving the marijuana market out of an underground economy, out of a world where it is sold underground like alcohol was during Prohibition in the 1920s, and it is sold in stores like alcohol is today. And the biggest reason that many of us find in the movement is because ultimately marijuana is less dangerous than alcohol. That's another, thank you. I want to point out, on that line, there's a group called SAFER, Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation in Denver, Colorado. They passed a ballot initiative Tuesday. It deprioritized marijuana law enforcement within the city of Denver. Over 39,000 people voted yes in favor of this municipal ordinance. 2 years ago, Denver voters voted to decriminalize. There is no, already Colorado is a decriminalized state. I'm not sure if a lot of you realize that there are many states that have actually decriminalized marijuana, including New York State almost 30 years ago. But Colorado, it's a $100 civil citation if you get caught for the first time. In Denver, they wanted to make that a $0 fine. So they passed a ballot initiative so that anyone age 21 or older in possession of 1 ounce or less, it was a zero fine civil citation. The police didn't like that. They said that they were going to follow state law. And marijuana arrests jumped in Denver 15%. In response to this, they ran the initiative this week, which passed, that says that marijuana has to be the lowest law enforcement priority in the city. And it establishes a community oversight committee to make sure that there were not even any parking tickets that needed to be given out when someone is arrested for a marijuana violation, just to make sure it was really the lowest law enforcement priority. Denver's not the only city that does this. In 2003, Seattle passed a deprioritization and decriminalization initiative. Arrests have dropped there 75%. Kid you not, go to Seattle Hempfest. Beautiful event. Do you know how many marijuana arrests there were this year at Seattle's Hempfest? The biggest marijuana law reform rally in the country? Zero. Zero. Okay, that's what can happen if you change the law. The law is you know, the law is to here to serve the people. And what grassroots advocacy groups do and what a lot of proponents do is seek to change the law, and that's what Normal does. Okay, we're going to rely on a lot of information from Normal tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit about, do a little shameless self-promotion here. I do the Daily Audio Stash podcast. It's a very interesting thing. About 11 years ago, I was on the radio in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I had this great late-night radio program. My co-host is back here tonight recording this for the podcast, Rupert. And thank you, Rupert. And on the show, we used to read the Normal News press release. I would just straight read the press release from the show. Well, it got really popular. And you can always tell when something's popular on public radio because people donate money. That's money talks, believe me, in public radio. So when people started donating lots of money to Normal News, we knew we kind of had something here. I started sending the MP3s back to Normal's webmasters. We posted it as a podcast for the first time. And within about a month, we were top-ranked on iTunes. In 2006, Alan St. Pierre, Normal's executive director, said, well, you know, what about a daily show? And we spent about a month knocking it around. I thought, you know, can I really talk about pot every day for 45 minutes? I mean, am I going to get tired of this? But as of today, there have been 325 guests on the podcast. They include policy experts, Normal's staff, Normal's board of directors, celebrities. Here's Rick Steves. He's the PBS travel host. He's appeared with us three times. Rick's a great guy. Tommy Chong, he's on Normal's advisory board. Tommy's a great guy. Of course, Tommy went to jail for selling bongs on the internet. I'm sure some of you heard about that case. Tommy's on the Normal advisory board. He has spoken out at a number of events for Normal, including the Normal conference this year. And he's very passionate about reform. His book is called The I Chong, Meditations from the Joint, and I do recommend it. I do an author a week on my public radio program. Also, Willie Nelson. He is on Normal's advisory board as well. Willie has long been a great friend of Normal. This photo was taken in Austin where I interviewed Willie at a concert that he gave. It's Willie Nelson, a bunch of country guys. Man, I got schooled in country down there. Who'd have thunk it? All these country guys singing for marijuana law reform. But it was Willie Nelson, Ray Benson of Asleep at the Wheel, Paula Nelson, Willie's daughter, Amy Nelson, his other daughter, who both appeared on the podcast with us. And Willie, there he is wearing his Normal t-shirt. This was a concert where all the proceeds went to three groups: Normal, the Marijuana Policy Project, and the Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana in California. Really one of the first groups to grow medical marijuana for patients out there. Concert raised about $60,000, and Willie does radio spots for us, and he's been on the podcast, of course. Just last week, I interviewed Sendog from Cypress Hill. He was doing a concert in Philadelphia. Sendog and Cypress Hill, of course, big advocates of marijuana law reform, always out in front on the issue. So we attract a lot of cool guests. It's not hard to find these folks. Here's some more folks that have been on the podcast. You'll recognize this guy. He's been getting a lot of play. Congressman Ron Paul, he's a big advocate of a change in the drug war overall. But he has also, over the years, he's been in Congress for a long time. He's been the Republican co-sponsor on a number of pieces of federal legislation that would both allow the medical use of marijuana and actually looked at decriminalization about 6 years ago. Ron Paul, very strong guy. Next guy is Maurice Hinchy. He's not too far from here. He's a representative from New York, and Dana Raubacher from California. Together, they sponsor the Hinchy-Raubacher Amendment every year, which would stop the DEA from raiding medical marijuana dispensaries in California. It's a big problem. We hear about it on the news a lot, and it's being addressed through legislation. Hasn't passed. Comes up every year. So these are the kind of folks we get on the podcast. We get about 158 bands and musicians, comedians. And we have a lot of live event audio. We've gone to the Austin Freedom Fest, Seattle's Hemp Fest. We do special shows. We do a special one-hour program on 420 each year because it's 420. Everybody knows what 420 is in America. So we have to do a special 420 show. It's interesting because, you know, this is the thing about marijuana culture that really fascinates me. Everybody knows about marijuana culture. And we'll talk about more about the numbers of the people who have admitted to the federal government on surveys that they've tried marijuana. Yet these harsh penalties do remain in place. And there are even harsher social consequences for admitting that you're a marijuana smoker. You might not get arrested, but friends and family might think of you in a different way. This is akin to what happened with the GLBT movement, gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual. It took a long time for people to get empowered in that movement. And the biggest thing that empowered them was coming out of the closet. It is actually more risky to come out of the closet as a marijuana smoker, but it's more needed today than ever. So, between the three podcasts, Normal News, Normal Events, where we do special events audio, and Normal's Daily Audio Stash, we've served about 5 million MP3 downloads in the past few years. These are some of the other folks on the program. Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Rudy Reyes, he's a medical marijuana patient. Right here you can see Rudy's been burned about 90% of his body. He uses medical marijuana in California. He was actually raided by federal authorities, even though he was cultivating under state law. John P. Morgan, he wrote the book Marijuana Myths, Marijuana Facts with Lynn Zimmer, who passed away last year. Been on the program a number of times. Donald Abrams conducted a study in California this year at the University of San Francisco, University of California at San Francisco, that showed that smoked marijuana significantly reduces HIV-associated neuropathic pain. It's a significant development as clinical trials with humans smoking cannabis in the U.S. are rare. And it's unfortunate because that's one of the aspects of prohibition that is really hurting us today, is the constriction of medical research that can be done on the plant. So this is iTunes. Some of you already know iTunes. You go to the podcast category, you look up the stats. Here we are. We rank high. People are interested in pot. They're a little bit more interested in it than the U.S. Treasury Service. They're a little bit more interested in it than Hillary Clinton or the Pentagon or the presidential speeches. Or they're a little bit more interested in it than the U.N. Thank you. Marijuana information online is huge. We didn't know how huge it was until we started putting these podcasts out there. So, it's a bit about normal. It's a bit about the podcasts. Now we get into the meat of our presentation tonight, which should be pretty fun. That's Seattle's HempFest. I'm going to have that for background for a moment. This is what happens when people get empowered right here every year in Seattle. 200,000 people come to Myrtle Edwards Park. No one gets arrested for smoking pot. I guarantee you everybody in that scene was smoking pot that day. And not just smoking pot, maybe in their car. Like, look out! Now, they're openly smoking marijuana. The police are there. The police work very... This is an event of 200,000 people. It takes a lot of police coordination to pull this off every year. Normal's chapter in Washington runs Seattle HempFest. They have for 15 years. It's a huge event every year. This is what happens in Seattle, where the total number of marijuana arrests last year in the whole city, 75. Okay? The whole city. Philadelphia arrests almost 7,000 people a year for marijuana. The state of Pennsylvania, 28,000 people in 2006 for simple marijuana possession. But if you change the law, 75. We're going to talk about the chemical components here in a moment. I just want to say that, we are going to talk about the history of prohibition here in a moment, which is an interesting history. But marijuana smoking wasn't really that common for a long time here in the United States. The uptick in use is directly correlative to prohibition. The amount of marijuana produced in the United States each year, the amount of people who smoke marijuana has never, and I mean never, gone down. Interesting enough, just this week, the British Home Office released their crime survey. Britain reclassified cannabis 3 years ago. It moved it down in their scheduling of drugs. They decriminalized cannabis. Officers, if you are caught smoking a joint on the street of London right now, the officer has the choice to verbally warn you. Okay? That is what they do in the UK right now. Now, they were worried about this. Conservatives and the conservative government that's in now, Gordon Brown, the new prime minister, he says, oh, man, cannabis use must have gone up huge. It's having a huge detriment to our society. And they go to the old reefer madness rhetoric of cannabis is going to make you crazy. It's going to cause psychosis, which we see in scientific studies not to be true. But the Home Office in their crime survey reports that cannabis use among 16 to 24-year-olds has dropped, and not just by a little. Since they decriminalized cannabis in the UK, the percentage of 16 to 24-year-olds who smoke pot dropped 20%. That's data out this week. It's big on BBC right now. Not as big as when somebody says it causes psychosis, though, unfortunately. No criminalization campaign. No media awareness campaign. No, this is your brain on drugs, eggs frying in the frying pan. Nothing has ever caused a decrease in smoking like 20%. So when you end prohibition, when you liberalize cannabis laws, it can be directly seen from the British experience right now with this data that just came out last week from the Home Office. You can directly see that prohibition itself is what fuels intense and upward use. And if you relax prohibition, people don't smoke as much of it. It's true in the Netherlands. It's true in the UK.
That was a portion of a presentation I gave recorded on November 8th at the Pennsylvania College of Technology. We'll have the rest of that presentation available online as separate MP3s very soon. Just keep checking back at normalaudiostash.com. Listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting Technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.